Hello and welcome to another podcast, Manna. I'm Pastor Jeff Glenn, and it's my pleasure to take you through the Word each week. We're still in Genesis, and today we'll be in chapter 33. And I call today's topic here, the message, The Reckoning. So we've seen where Jacob has traveled from this, the pillar of rocks, the stone, the rock in a hard place, as we've called it. Now he's at the reckoning. He is meeting his brother Esau. So from verse 1, now Jacob lifted his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming, and with him were 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. And so you can almost sense the dread or the terror, perhaps, in Jacob's heart when he looked up. You know, following this wrestling match with the Lord, he looks up and here comes his brother Esau with these 400 men. And that number, 400 men, is been associated with a battle array. So it looks as if Esau's coming at him, you know, perhaps, presumably carrying a grudge and bringing with him these 400 men to exact a reckoning against Jacob for his behavior. And so Jacob does the prudent thing and the honorable thing. He seeks to take steps to protect his family by separating them into different camps. And, then we also see this attitude change in Jacob as well, where there once was this presumptuous kind of proud man who was trying to take every angle that he could to get ahead. You know, now he's approaching Esau in this attitude of humility and contrition. And so Jacob, who's now called Israel by God because of his wrestling match, he's bowing repeatedly. He's showing submission as Esau and he are coming to meet each other. He's previously sent forth all of these gifts of the flocks and herds. And so he's doing all that he can to show contrition to Esau. And when we flash back, we see why. Back to Esau's vow in chapter 27. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning my father are at hand, then I will kill my brother Jacob." And so this was Esau's vow. It was very much in Jacob's mind that this was his mindset towards his brother. And so now we contrast that with verse 4. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And so we have this moment of this reunification where, in the movies there'd be this great swelling music, a big wide shot, and everything would turn out happy, and they would live happily ever after. Then we get into this this exchange between Esau and Jacob, and so we see all of this happening, you know, under what we would consider God's sovereignty, because we see this dramatic change from Esau vowing to kill his brother till now running to meet him, embracing him, falling on his neck, kissing him, showing all of these outward signs that he was extremely happy to see his brother and that all of this animosity had somehow left him. And so there's several ways that we can view this interaction. And the straightforward read, you know, that Esau is truly happy to see Jacob, and Jacob is contrite and doesn't want to impose upon Esau's hospitality. And let's read through this so we see what we're talking about here. And so they are talking about, after this meeting here, Esau's questioning, like, why did you send me all of these things? And Esau is saying, well, they were sent as a gift to find favor. And then we get to verse 13. Now Jacob said to him, because Esau is saying, we'll come back to Seir with me and live with me, and I'm going to lead the way, and I'll go before you. And Jacob said to him, my Lord knows that the children are weak, and the flocks and herds which are nursing with me. And if the men should drive them hard one day, all the flocks will die. Please let my Lord go on ahead before his servant, and I will lead slowly at a pace with which the livestock that go before me and the children are able to endure until I come to my Lord at Seir. And Esau said, Now let me leave some people with you who were with me. But he said, What is their need? Let me find favor in the sight of my Lord. So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir, and Jacob journeyed to Succoth, built himself a house, and made booths for his livestock. Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth. And so this exchange about Esau saying, hey, come back to my place, my dwelling place in Seir, and Jacob saying, no, it's a pretty long journey. If we're going to push the people to get there in a day, they're going to die, and so just let me go at my own place, and I'll meet you there. But then he ends up going to a different place and setting up his household there, and then eventually he moves on to a place called Shechem, which there's a lot to say about that maybe at another time. And so we don't really know what the motivation is here, right? So some have suggested that this is really just from Jacob's nature as a deceiver. Like his intent was never to go to Seir in the first place, so he's just trying to kind of distance himself from Esau because he doesn't trust Esau's intentions, or Esau's intentions entirely valid or just. Or is it just sort of this sibling one-upsmanship that I think there's a little bit of that here as we look at this. And so we see that the first thing that we see here is when Esau says in verse 8, then Esau said, what do you mean by all this company with which I met? And he's talking about the flocks and herds that Jacob had set ahead to show him that he was sending presents and wasn't coming in war. But he says to Jacob, he says, Jacob says to Esau, these are to find favor in the sight of my Lord. But Esau said to him, I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself. So he's essentially saying, nope, I got plenty. Like, I'm not going to take your stuff because I have plenty. And then Jacob counters with, no, if I've found favor with in your sight, then receive my present, insomuch as I've seen your face as though I've seen the face of God, and you were pleased with me. So some could see this as a little bit of flattery, trying to not put Jacob under Esau, but to, again, keep him at arm's length. And then he says, please take my blessing that is brought to you because God has dealt graciously with me. So again, kind of reminding Esau, God's dealt generously with me, graciously with me, and I have enough. So they're both kind of saying that, they each have enough. And so that's another way to look at it as well. And so we see eventually, though, that no matter what view you take of this, that essentially that God's will is being done. And what God wanted, which was a people who were holy, right, separated unto him, we see that this is beginning to happen. We see that Jacob has been called out of living with Laban, and we remember that Laban was worshiping all sorts of household idols and other idols, and God wants to be worshiped for who he is. Jacob had committed to that, so he's been called out of that. And then now he's being called or having this temptation of going and residing with Esau. And we know that Esau had already married Canaanite women. And so those kind of religious practices were part of Esau's household and family and practice. And we see Jacob being, for whatever reason, being led to this place in Succoth and then later to Shechem, but really separating himself out of both of those possibilities, which is clearly what the Lord had in mind to make sure that he was the one being worshipped and not foreign gods. And so, like I said, even though these two didn't have this big, movie happy ending where they lived happily ever after, we do see that God's will, is not going to be confounded by, this family infighting or one-upsmanship or dysfunction. We know that God's will be done. And so hopefully that's encouraging for you. So until next week, stay encouraged and stay in the Word.